MOI London calling NBC New York. MOI London calling NBC New York. All set now, Ed. 20 seconds from now, we'll go ahead. This is NBC in London. Today you heard the news that the capital of the little Grand Duchy of Luxembourg had been liberated by American troops. And tonight, Grand Duchess Charlotte is preparing with her ministers to return to their rightful seat of government after more than 4 years of exile. You will now hear a recording of a special message she is sending from London to the American people through NBC on this important day for her government. The Grand Duchess Charlotte of Luxembourg.
Luxembourg, the long-awaited hour of deliverance has struck. 26 years ago, General Pershing's troops freed my country of the German invader, and now again, American troops have repelled from Luxembourg soil the barbarous tide of Nazi domination that for over 4 years has overwhelmed the Grand Duchy with tyranny, terror, oppression, and untold hardship. In this hour, how could I fail to express, in the name of my people, the deep sense of heartfelt gratitude with which Luxembourg greets her liberators, and to pay tribute to the valor, sacrifice, endurance, and the magnificent achievements of the glorious American forces. My thanks go to the people of America for the tremendous contribution towards victory in the greatest battle of all time, waged in defense of those ideals of human liberty that are common to both our countries. I thank the great people of the United States for their support of the just cause of my little country in its struggle for its rights against terrific odds. I thank them also for the generous hospitality extended to me and my family and the assistance that was given me and my government by president and people alike during the years of exile. The outline of a new world is emerging in which small nations can live in peace and freedom in a family of nations ruled by law which respects the rights of the weak as well as the strong. The power, the strength, the tremendous achievements, coupled with the high ideals of the United States, form a main cornerstone of this new world and constitute a pledge for lasting peace.
You have just heard a special recorded message from the Grand Duchess Charlotte of Luxembourg to the American people. This is NBC in London. Returning you now to NBC in New York. How was that, Ed? Was the start of the actual recording spotty, Ed? Something happened here. We don't know exactly what it was. Did you miss anything? The recording starts out, for Luxembourg, the long-awaited hour of deliverance has struck. Well, we can repeat it again if you want to. Okay. All right. Hello, Bill. Yes, I did. Oh, sure. Sure I do. Well, we certainly will try, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, let me see. I've been talking to Ed about some spots for these boys in the field, Bill. They're moving around so fast, and the transmitters are moving around so fast, too, that I feel that our coverage has been terribly spotty. Yeah, well, the press wireless transmitter up where the first was all right today. Cassidy came through okay direct to New York, I was told. But I don't know what we're going to get out of the one with Patton. But of course, to get anything at all, we've got to give the boys some kind of an idea when we can take them. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not suggesting that we try to arrange to break commercials for routine stuff, but I do think we ought to revise our present sustaining schedule so we can give these boys a definite time that they can have, they know they can come up when it's technically possible for them to come up. Well, I need one more right now. That's the point for Cassidy. Well, I suggest somewhere in the 2200 if it can be fitted, but Ed said that thing's about to fall to pieces. No, 2200 to 15. And I don't know what your situation is there, but yeah. All right. Well, I'll send them all instructions to that effect.
Hello, NBC New York. Hello, NBC. Hello, NBC New York.
Hello, New York.
Hello, NBC New York.
Something's
on the other circuit.
What did you tell them? Your information. One of my
feeding attempts,
and they want to know if you came up spot on
04. Oh, I see.
Oh, then I does.
Uh-huh. Hello, NBC New York. Did you tell them about Cassidy?
No, I didn't.
No. Hello, no. They'll have to come up on here. Hello, New York. Hello, NBC. Somebody different with me, Ellie. Hello, NBC New York. Oh, gee. Hello, NBC New York. Hello, New York. I believe the engineer just told you that Brian would be going ahead at 04. Yeah, it's coming over this and the other circuit. I haven't heard yet. I've been trying to get to you. I want to tell you that Cassidy is going on for 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
Yeah. And his recording will be 8 minutes. Thank you very much.
Abel, I'm Jig Easy, Victor Abel.
Brian hasn't showed up yet. Brian hasn't showed up yet.
Did you get that, New York? He hasn't shown up yet. Okay, well, you'll monitor for Cassidy, though, won't you?
Thank you.
I'm waiting for him, but I'm not sure. So stand by for scheduled time, over.
Hello,
German border. I'm coming up for a broadcast of approximately 4.5 minutes. Yes, 1 minute 5 seconds. Wolf. I'm coming up BBC and NBC in 1 minute from that point. This is James Cassidy with the North American Army near the German border. I'm coming up for a 4.5 minute broadcast approximately in 3/4 of a minute. Hello, BBC. Hello, NBC. Following this, if you please, an 8-minute recording for WLW to be piped as soon as possible to WLW Cincinnati. Will you notify them and get the line through to WLW as soon as possible after the NBC broadcast?
Coming up in 20 seconds.
Coming up in 15 seconds. Stand by, NBC, BBC.
This is James Cassidy with the 1st American Army near the German border.
The news is out and it's good. It has now been officially announced that the American 1st Army has broken across the German frontier from Belgium. They crossed east of the town of Eupen
using armored and infantry columns. The farthest point of advance was about 1.5 miles beyond the border.
At the same time, correspondents returning from the 1st Army sector in Luxembourg have asserted that the announcement of a penetration there may have been premature. It has been impossible to secure further details either on this or the report given by a 1st Army staff officer that American troops were being greeted warmly by inhabitants of an unidentified town inside Germany across from Luxembourg. The thrust into Germany came at the end of a day of strong resistance by the Germans and a continued advance by our column. I have spent most of the day at forward command post and can vouch for the fact that enemy resistance was heavy. All day long, shells from German 88mm guns were dropping near our position and on several occasions caused the building in which the command post was located to shake violently. At this moment, it is dark on the Belgian-German frontier, and our movements among the heavy minefields laid down by the Germans are very cautious. Firing is less audible than it was late this afternoon. Whether the Germans will try to counterattack is a matter of conjecture. If they do not defend the border, their next defense barrier is the Rhine River, 30 miles beyond the frontier. I am doing this broadcast from a grassy field not far from where our troops have crossed the border. As I speak, the night is utterly dark, except for the flash of explosions now and then a few miles off. Whether caused by bombs or artillery, I cannot tell. It has been a stupendous experience to watch this penetration develop all day long under the sunlit skies of Belgium, climaxing in the crossing of the border in late afternoon. Last night, enemy planes came over. They are over again tonight, overhead as I write this broadcast. The blacked-out sky was lit with tremendous flashes back of our position a while ago. Our troops began to run into a slight foretaste of Germany when they encountered German language being spoken in eastern Belgium this afternoon. In the area around Henri-Chapelle, little French is heard, for this section of Belgium was part of Germany itself before the Treaty of Versailles. But in any language, they know what's happening. Even those whose sympathy seemed to me to be definitely pro-German were out today waving in what seemed to me a dutiful fashion. Sympathies and psychology mean very little in the face of this tremendous performance of our arms. It is impossible to tell what immediate strength the Germans will bring to bear against our assault tomorrow. It was disclosed earlier that German women and boys have been recruited to dig trenches for guns behind the Siegfried line. If this is true, the best that can be said for the women and children is that a falling bomb or an artillery shell does not distinguish soldier from civilian when a target is under attack. Tonight, our soldiers are talking very seriously about the problems they are going to face advancing through Germany. Despite any other reports, unless the German character as a whole has great experience, it does no longer become the particular to recapture towns with the freedom that have been possible in France and Belgium. From now on, every house could be a potential sniper, and every burglar a potential assassin
until the
German Frontier to NBC in New York.
Hello, NBC.
Hello, NBC.
Hello, BBC.
Please keep this channel open. Just a few instructions,
NBC, if you please.
The following program is either to be piped directly, although I don't believe you've had time to make arrangements, either to be piped directly or recorded and then piped later by line to WLW Cincinnati. Please notify Howard Chamberlain and make the necessary arrangements, please, to get this program to WLW just as rapidly as possible.
I'm going to go ahead with this recording, which runs between 8 and 10 minutes, in 15 seconds from now.
This is James Cassidy speaking from a point in Belgium very near the German frontier. Our troops have crossed the border from Belgium into Germany.
The good news
was cleared a while ago, as those of us who have known it for hours have stood by and sweated until the veil of silence was officially lifted. All day today, I was up with our forward troops as they advanced foot by foot, as they cracked their way through what is usually called stubborn German resistance, and which consisted of mortar fire, mines, and 88mm gunfire that got so close to us a couple of times that we had to stop our moving column and wait. Germany was clearly visible, and so were the bursts of gun smoke from the enemy side. Not quite so visible were the big mine fields, which the Germans have scattered along the route of our advance. Tonight, our army is about a mile and a half across the German border, about the distance from Mount Adams to downtown Cincinnati, up on Central Covington, over to Newport in Kentucky. It has been an enormous experience to see them do this job step by step, to see this operation. I've been to see warfare at its most tragic scene. Extremely busy place this afternoon. I whiled away a few minutes reading the latest issue of the Night Post, complete with anti-Allied cartoons, stories discounting the Allied advances, and other propaganda. I was thinking it was quite a difference from home in Cincinnati, where you could pick up the power of post or tank. Now, that's the state of the German world, and they detect the real truth instead of the well's headline and great lies that we get in this conversation. I am broadcasting right now from a grassy meadow not far from our front line. In the distance, with some frequency, it is possible to hear the thudding and feel the concussion of more great explosions. Whether they are artillery or cannon, I cannot tell, or from whose side ours are coming. Several other citizens of Germany are planning to shoot out of the field.
All the same, I like many another time, come up here at the front and never get used to the idea.
The best way to visualize what the front looks like tonight is to imagine that you are driving down a side road in the country in the middle of the night without your headlights on in pitch darkness. If you will further imagine that you see great flashes of light illuminating the scene for a brief moment, followed by a roar like thunder, only closer, you will have a further idea. I just learned today that some of you listeners in Indiana saw a spike like that
a couple of weeks ago.
I read about it in Yankee Army Magazine.
And I'm pretty curious to find out eventually
whether it was a meteor or what it was.
But there's just plenty of such spikes. At least one of the bombers that tried to get into our compound tonight was cut down before reaching there.
On the way to the front this morning, I saw his wrecked Messerschmitt.
a pile of rubbish piled up in a crater in the street, 4 feet deep, the way we used to find craters when a water main broke under the asphalt paving back home. The pilot who had been killed in the crash was somewhere inside what was left of the plane. It took only one shot from our anti-aircraft to bring him down. Those who saw the plane fall say the whole countryside was lit in a garish light for long seconds as the plane crashed to earth. That light stays on instead of flickering back into darkness.
Now that we are into Germany, the last
fall
night in the European war gets underway. Whether the Germans will try to put up a resistance on the line which has been broken through, or whether they will try to fall back on the Rhine River, remains to be seen. Confusing stories have been floating up to this sector from Luxembourg this afternoon.
Certain correspondents who returned from there declared that the announcement of a penetration from Luxembourg
into Germany was premature. It is impossible to check the story from this point,
and also impossible to check up on a report by a First Army staff officer that the Germans across the border from Luxembourg were extending a warm welcome to our troops. Any welcomes on the sector in which I am are yet to be reported. The chief greeting has been mines and artillery and bombs. But the important thing is that we are into Germany. Whether we must push the limit or whether the German people or high German army officers will finally force a capitulation remains for the following days to tell. It is now getting late in the night. Our troops on both sides of the German border are in bed. It is a chilly night, rapidly getting cold. When they get up in the morning, their minds will be on the names of all those German cities where the next action may come. Cologne, Dusseldorf, Berlin. But while those roads lead them ever farther into Germany, they will also be the roads that lead them back to Lima and Lexington, Chillicothe and Fort Lincoln, Lena and Hazard, Berea and Muncie, Marion and Huntsville, Columbus and Vincennes, Lafayette and Ashland, back to all the cities and towns of Ohio and Indiana, West Virginia, and everywhere else in America. Back to hamburgers on a counter, back to chicken on a plate. Back to the farm and the friendly smell of hay without booby traps. Back to the steak to drink. Back to a show or a dance on Saturday night. Back to a late Sunday snooze. Back to work for a boss you don't have to salute.
And back to whatever gratitude they are earning
in the hearts of new people as they risk their lives inside Germany tonight.
These are some of the things
that the invasion of Germany means. This is James Cassidy speaking from the Belgian-German border. I return you now to WLW Cincinnati.